Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Time now for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Singapore shares entered the morning session barely moved as gains from travel and hospitality-related index counters clashed with a weaker showing from banks. Now, an early trade, the Straits Times Index was up just 0.03% to 3,252 points after some 35 million securities changed hands in the broader market. Now, as usual, closing numbers are still firming up, but here's what I have on the screen right now. The Straits Times Index down 0.65%. We're looking at 3,230 points. In terms of value turnover, that's 1.33 billion Sing dollars. The gainers outnumbered losers 297 versus 240. Top five movers by value, we've got here DBS, UOB, OCBC, Singtel, and Yangtze Jiang Shipbuilding Sing dollars. Heavily traded securities, we've got here Seatrium, Thai Beverage, and Genting Singapore. Now, in terms of companies to watch, we do have ESR Logos REIT. Its manager said today that it obtained a 200 million Sing dollars sustainability-linked unsecured revolving credit facility agreement. Now, elsewhere from China's protracted property downturn eroding the balance sheet of state banks to the monetary cost of the Baltimore Bridge collapse to insurers and the impact on shipping lines, we've got more international headlines in focus. And joining me on the line is David Chow, director at Azure Capital. David, welcome.
Hi, Tian. Hi, everyone.
Great to have you on board. And David, let's start with the Singapore stock market as usual. Mm-hmm. How did the STI fare today ahead of February's US PC numbers out tomorrow? Some nervousness, I suppose.
Right. As we all know by now, your STI fell 0.7%. Some may argue that it could be profit taking or, you know, a sell down depending on how you look at it after a few consecutive days of rallies. Well, but anyhow, you know, whether the fall, you know, today will be due to a shorter trading week or even the anticipation of, you know, the PEC data tomorrow, which leads to perhaps a risk off session. Again, this is debatable, but then again, it is what it is. On the PCE, I think after the release of the hotter than expected, you know, CPI and PPI data for February, you know, market thinks that, you know, the core PCE data this time around will rise by, you know, 0.3% month-on-month in February, which is, I think, it's a cooling off from the prior period of 0.4% in January. So if this proves to be correct, that will imply, you know, that the 12-month rate of PCE will come in at, you know, 2.8% year-on-year, but the 6-month annualized rate will actually tick up to 2.9 to 3% year-on-year versus the prior rate of 2.5%. So this is something to take note of. My expectation is still, you know, for a near 0.32% rise, so it's just about there, you know, very close to consensus for now. Certainly the market, you know, wants the actual number to be lower, you know, in order, you know, for the Fed to have a bit of confidence to, you know, begin cutting rates later this year.
Right, and Jerome Powell said that indicated the Fed's resolve to cut rates, right, three times this year, but we've got Rafael Bostic coming in to say maybe just one. Mm-hmm. Other, you know, Christopher Waller coming in to say maybe you should be more cautious. Your thoughts?
Well, I would say that collectively it's still the voting members of the Fed who will make the consensus call. But then again, you know, the Fed chairman will still, you know, have a larger weighting. So I guess it's really data dependent as, you know, what they have said. So we can, you know, only adopt a wait-and-see approach.
Feels like we're back to square one. But David, let's zoom in on some companies to watch here on the SGX. Seatrium in focus. It called for a trading halt this morning pending the release of announcements. Now, at the same time, we've got news of two of its former executives charged with corruption offences today for paying bribes of more than 20 million Sing dollars to further the company's business interests in Brazil. Any thoughts on the matter?
Okay, I think on Seatrium's, you know, after the opening bell, you know, some parts of the market were expecting, you know, updates, you know, on Seatrium's, you know, recent share consolidation exercise, you know, hence they put up a trading halt. You know, but shortly after that, I think around 10:40, you know, news of the corruption charges actually surfaced. So, you know, some market participants actually, you know, put two and two together and thought it would be optimal for, you know, Seatrium to call for a trading halt first until there's more clarity. So indeed, when the company released their press release around 10:40, it's comforting to know that at the very least, you know, financially wise, you know, company will provide a provision of about 76.5 million in last year's financial statements. Mm-hmm. So, and they have actually said that there are no implications on this case on this year's earnings for now.
Mm.
So even though, you know, this adjustment actually widened net losses in, you know, FY to increase further, yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, it's still a FY 2023 matter, so it's a past tense.
Yeah.
You know, coming to the share price has fallen from a recent high of 12.1 cents to, you know, 7.6 cents recently. And it's been consolidating for the past couple of days. So I guess any interesting developments apart from what's been released today, you know, concerning Seatrium, you know, could see the share price, you know, break out either way out of this consolidation. So let's wait and see.
Right. And aside from Seatrium, David, we've got here ESR Logos REIT. Its manager said today that it obtained this 200 million Sing dollars sustainability linked unsecured revolving credit facility agreement. How significant is this for the firm looking at share price movements today?
The share price was slightly down today, and I mean, it's not a surprise given that the index has gone down by 0.7% lower. But I don't think the new credit facility, you know, has a huge part to play for this movement. You know, what will be stock moving is, of course, the eventual rate cut, you know, by the Fed, which will be more rates moving than not. But, you know, nonetheless, to obtain this credit facility is still, I think, a good news because, you know, under the name of sustainability link agreements, the key terms, you know, could be better than the conventional ones because of the sustainability factor in place. So it could be slightly lower interest rates or a slightly better repayment schedule for the REITs. So if I look at the current gearing for this REIT now, I think it's about 35.7% versus the universe REITs of around 38.1%. However, you know, within the industry REITs in which ESR resides in, it's actually on the higher side with the average of this sector being just 35%. And, you know, furthermore, its average cost of gearing, I think, would be 3.9%. Again, much higher than the universal REITs and, you know, still higher within its own industrial sector. So having this type of credit facility in place, I think, is ideal. It's, also, I think if you look at the last metric, which is its interest coverage ratio, it's still okay, like this is around 2.5%. currently, which is decent. So I guess investors judging on this, you know, will probably still feel okay about it.
Right. And very quickly, since we're on the topic of sustainability-linked loans, Banyan Tree said yesterday as well, it obtained this first sustainability-linked loan worth 70 million Sing dollars. Any quick thoughts on how investors have reacted?
I think from a share price perspective, I think the company share price is still reaping the benefits, you know, from a good set of results announced at the end of February, which saw it return to profitability and actually see its operating profits increased by, I think, ninefold to about 41 million. And on top of that, you know, their hotel RevPAR actually increased by 30% year on year. So this is something to cheer about. To a certain extent, you know, this demonstrates the company's ability to capitalize on the recovery in international travel last year. You know, as such, you know, however, the bar, I think, has been set higher for the company this year to, you know, grow its revenue and net profits further. And, you know, how would the company accomplish this? I think apart from organic growth, I think company has also plans to add 9 more properties this year.
Right.
And this loan, I think, could be used to support this acquisition.
Okay. And across the region, David, we are seeing signs of China's protracted property downturn filtering down to the balance sheet of the country's largest state banks. If we look at Bank of Communications, property bad loan ratio jumped to 4.99% at the end of last year from 2.8% a year ago. I believe a similar picture when we look at ICBC, Industrial and Commercial Bank of China. Your thoughts on the matter, how far have the government calls for banks to bolster the economy really eaten into their bottom lines?
We look at the latest property sales number from China. You know, property sales actually fell, you know, again 29% year on year, and you know, in which, you know, the residential property segment by itself actually, you know, fell more than 32.7%, I think close to 33%. And if you look at the gross floor area for residential, again, you know, fell 25%, and it suggests that the average selling price for residential fell almost 8% year on year. Ouch. But that's not all. I mean, if we look at, you know, the new starts, gross floor area and completion GFA, they have all been declining as well. So what this tells me is that, you know, developers have less projects to deliver. And it also suggests that, you know, the series of measures introduced by policymakers for the past 6 to 12 months, you know, still, you know, fail to change the weak trend of property market. So again, we think property policymakers really need some, you know, out of the box policies to rescue the sector. And in our opinion, you know, policy banks, you know, should step in to provide, you know, funds to local governments, you know, as such. And you know, this move, if realized, you know, doesn't only solve their developers' liquidity problems near term, but also help improve the high inventory levels for most of the cities. And, you know, in the crosshair, unfortunately, you know, Chinese bank being state-owned have to do national service and shoulder the burden.
Yeah.
You know, hence, you know, on a valuation basis, China banks are always cheap compared to its regional peers, as investors really place a hefty discount to their books. And it will remain so as long as these chronic issues persist.
Right. And on another note, David, I do want to take some time to look at the Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Analysts said it could cost insurers billions of dollars in claims, and I believe one of them said it could cost as much as $4 billion, which would make the tragedy a record shipping insurance loss. Now, any major impact to supply chains for now, and in the longer term, what will this event really mean for shipping firms when it comes to insurance premiums? Have investors priced that in the days since the incident?
I think on the supply chain first, I think this bridge is an important port, you know, for the auto industry. In fact, I think it's the busiest U.S. Ports for car shipments, handling more than 750,000 vehicles last year. And if we look at the impact in containers and tankers, we are talking about, you know, huge amount as well. So I think this port handles around, you know, 5% of the East Coast container value volume and up to 10% of U.S. tanker flows, which, you know, back the question of, you know, this could increase, you know, the already elevated freight rates that we have seen, you know, and lead to further delays at the time of jam shipping markets due to the lack of shipping lane capacity in the Suez and Panama canals. So this could potentially be another inflationary, you know, supply side event for the global economy in the short term. I think on the payout, I think I actually see more burdens being imposed on the reinsurers instead, you know, as liability covers for most shipping vessels is provided through, you know, this protection and indemnity insurers known as the P&I clubs. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, they actually secure, you know, quite a bit of reinsurance covers. So on this note, this is something to look out for the reinsurers. And on the increment of insurance premium, I think it's best to ascertain the cause of this incident first to see whether there's a ground to do that.
Right. I have about 1.5 minutes to go, David. And let's take a look at Amazon. It is investing an additional $2.75 billion USD in Anthropic, the AI startup, and making the total investment in Anthropic to $4 billion. How would you read into this?
I think this is you know, another instance in which the big tech race to dominate the booming AI sector actually intensifies. And it seems strength in generative AI will be the biggest competitive edge for these players, you know, for years to come, you know, hopefully. I think today when I look at Anthropic, it's hundreds of, I think, millions of dollars, you know, from you know, raised from your VCs and, you know, combined, you know, these deals could really furnish them with billions of dollars in capitals and credit to use the cloud and computing service. And I believe they are actually valued at a valuation of more than $80 billion, you know, which is a decent amount. So, and it's interesting to note that, right, I mean, Amazon is increasing its bet, you know, even as scrutiny from regulators in the US, you know, we have the UK and EU, you know, you have voice concerns that, you know, deals between big tech and the most prominent AI startups may pose, you know, anti-competitive risk. Well, I think you can say that fortune favors the brave, perhaps.
Right.
It's perfectly understandable why Amazon had to do this when, you know, Microsoft has, you know, already taken an early lead by, you know, investing in open AI. And, you know, Microsoft has not really rest on its laurels. It's in fact invested in, I think, European, I think, AI startup called Mistral, you know, just last week. Actually, it stuck, I think, remember the figures correctly, $650 million deal,
right,
you know, to hire the leadership team and researchers. So I see, you know, all these partnerships coming together to, you know, improve you know, the existing infrastructure, hardware, software, and, you know, there could potentially be, you know, cross-selling opportunities here, you know, with Amazon and Anthropic. And, of course, the ultimate aim is to, you know, compete with NVIDIA's chips. at the end of the day.
Yeah, I suppose there's always lots to watch on this front. Thanks a lot, David. And that was David Chow, Director at Azure Capital. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.